You're listening to a 4x4 Radio Network podcast.
The Center Steer Podcast, a Land Rover podcast by Land Rover owners. Welcome to a special edition of the Center Steer Podcast. This is the Thanksgiving 2016 edition of the show. In the United States, Thanksgiving's a special time when friends and family come together to give thanks for those around them and the bounty in their lives. As frequent listeners to the show know, Graham and Louisa Bell, who are traveling the world in their Defender 130, visited Pittsburgh and stayed with me for about a week and a half. Used that opportunity to sit down with them and have a conversation with them in the podcast studio. This also gives me the opportunity to thank you, our listeners, for listening to the show for almost 4 years now. Recently, our subscriber numbers went over 150, which for a very niche podcast that comes out monthly, I thought is a very great number. It's fantastic. Thank you for listening. Thank you for our listeners who are around the world. Thank you for our listeners who contribute through our Patreon campaign. Thank you for the listeners who have made one-time monetary donations to assist the show. Thank you for listener Pax, who has offered to do the audio processing for the show simply because he enjoys the show and wants the audio to be awesome, in his words. And also thank you for the listener inside Sully Hall listening to the show. Thank you very much for the years that you've been listening. I also want to thank our guests who have joined the show and thank them for their contributions and hearing about their travels, their life, their adventures, and their trucks. I also want to thank our monthly contributors who provide depth and richness to the podcast. Especially want to thank Morgan, who has helped in the podcast development and runs seriesparts.com. He's done a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure the website matches the quality of the show. And finally, I want to thank my cousin, who developed the logo and the sticker for the show. He's a professional graphic designer, and the logo and the sticker give the show a nice professional polish. Thanks very much, Sean, for your contribution to the show. And now, let's join Harold and I as we talk to Graham and Louisa Bell, who are traveling the planet overland. And now on the Center Steer Podcast, a special interview here live in studio. I've been hosting them for now an entire week. They said they were going to come for a few days, and it's now been 3 weeks. And no, I'm kidding. I have Graham and Louisa Bell are here in person with me. I'm looking at them in person right now. They have fed me this entire week. Welcome. I should let you talk.
Hey, JJ, how you doing? Howdy, Harold.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
And, Graham and Louisa, they are A2A Expedition.com. I like your new tagline, Traveling the Planet Overland. I have seen the 130 in person. It is wonderful. So tell us.
It does exist.
It does exist. It has gone up back and forth up my driveway several times.
Yeah, because that's the ultimate test of man and machine.
And we traveled into downtown Pittsburgh and got a nice picture you probably saw on our Facebook page of both my 109 and the 130 with Pittsburgh in the background. So they got to see Pittsburgh.
And it's very beautiful. We love Pittsburgh. I don't want to leave.
I think John has noticed.
Well, you have 5.5 months left, I think.
Well, as I said to them once, wait till maybe February before you make that determination. A little bit of snow and cold for days on end.
That's what indoors is made for.
Well, you come from a even colder climb, and you know.
Well, yeah, I'm here for the mild winters, definitely.
Indeed, you are. So tell us. What's going on with you guys? What's happening? What's going on? I mean, I know why you're here, but why don't you let our listeners know what's happened, and especially this past week?
All right. Well, we just actually drove across from basically from California to Pennsylvania in the last week, from Monday to Thursday, Friday. We drove, and the whole goal and the whole idea is that we did a Kickstarter campaign for our book, Travel the Planet Overland, and we have them printed in Tennessee. And then John had invited us to come and visit him and hang out for a while, and we thought, okay, let's kill a couple of birds with one stone.
And I wanted the first book.
And he got the first book.
I did. Holding it in my hand.
You're strong. And, what then? And then what we do is we had a whole bunch of the books shipped here to John's house so we could put them together with and finish making the leather pouches and the bracelets and get all the stickers. So get everything together for the Kickstarter campaign. And that's what we've been doing for the last few days, is getting everything together. And
I can attest, they have been working.
Yeah, but like working. People like go, "Ha, you work, that's funny." They don't think we're capable of work. They think we're just dripping in gold. But
you're not. You're definitely not dripping in gold. You're dripping in leather and paper.
Manly sweat.
And
bacon fat.
And bananas. I was going to say bananas. Lots and lots of bananas.
Well, that beats dripping with 90 weight.
Yeah, true. Indeed. You wrote the new book. Tell us a little bit about the new book and what's in it, what people will find if they don't already have the book. Make the sales pitch for us. What's the new book about?
Well, the new book is awesome. It's gorgeous.
It is actually.
It's bloody awesome.
It is actually awesome and gorgeous. I will attest to that.
I'm looking forward to seeing mine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Right. yeah, it's basically a how-to guide in terms of how to do what we do.
Harold, there are 230 all packed away. I'm looking at them right now.
314, so you can take one of them.
All right, I'll just grab one at random from your stack of shipments.
But yeah, it's tons of photos in the book, and it's full color, and like I said, it's a how-to guide.
Yeah, the goal is to inspire people to get out there and travel. You know,
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt because I liked how you turned the microphone to Louisa so she could talk about the book, and then she, well, she wasn't doing good enough, so I'll take the microphone back.
No. She's so brilliant that I don't want to overwhelm people with her magnificence, so I have to bring the tone down a little bit, I think. Anyway. No, you were doing a wonderful job, Louisa, really. But yeah, the whole goal of the book is to inspire people to get out there and basically do what we do, even if it's in small sections, even if it's just a weekend trip or whatever. But it covers everything from how to motivate your significant other, which I think I'm well qualified to give advice
Indeed
on.
Indeed you are.
Ouch. And camping, what kind of gear to take, how to test your gear, what kind of vehicle to look for, and then how to prepare for an international overland journey, how to travel with kids, how to take care of food, how to make a fire, how to prepare meat, all this kind of stuff that we do. And then, of course, our best photos that we've taken over the last 7 or 8 years traveling. Yeah, so that's basically it. And we put a lot of effort into making the book extra special. It's got a special wax coating on the cover, so it feels great, it looks great, and it's durable.
And it's printed here in the good old U.S. of A.
That's right. Everything from this Kickstarter is actually made in the U.S.A., pretty much, except for
some of it's made in the U.S.A. by South Africans, but made in the U.S.A. nonetheless.
As the car companies say, assembled in the U.S.
Assembled.
With South African content.
And migrant labor.
Yeah, there you go.
But I've got these wooden bracelets. A little story. I always used to carry a piece of wood in my pocket because people used to say, "How's the Land Rover?" And I'd always say, "Oh, I don't really want to talk about it because I'm a little bit superstitious about these things."
Yeah, you don't want to anger the rover gods.
No way, Jose. So I used to carry a little piece of wood in my pants, and I'd transfer them into as I changed my trousers or whatever. And then when we were down in Argentina, the kids found a wooden necklace broken at some hotel. And they fixed it up for me and made it a bracelet. And so I've been wearing that. And so since then, somebody asks, "How's the Land Rover doing?" I just rub the wooden bracelet. I say, "It's doing fine, touch wood." And there we are. So that's the only thing. It's assembled in the U.S. by migrant African laborers, but it's actually blessed Jerusalem olive tree beads from the Holy Land. So we got you covered in terms of, touching wood.
So what is happening after this? So you've written a new book, and I know you're going to, you're headed to Florida now to have your 130 refurbished and I believe into something new and magical.
I believe they call that recommissioning.
Oh, recommissioning.
Well, actually, yes, but we're doing all the work ourselves.
I will. The microphone gets put in front of Louisa that. And then then quickly removed for the answer.
He planned that too.
He's
you could tell.
Can we ask Louisa simple questions like, "What's your favorite color?" You know, that kind of thing.
We need a little knob over here we can turn that's going to aim that mic back and forth, and then the two of you can just chase it back and forth.
See, if I had more money for the podcast, I'd have another microphone.
So sign up on the Patreon, folks.
Yes,
there we go.
That's
yes. Well, we're actually going to be rebuilding a camper, rebuilding the Land Rover into a camper.
Yeah.
So we're going to be removing everything from behind the front doors. We're going to be taking all of that off and then putting a composite panels, a box made of composite panels.
Composite, for those who don't speak South African.
What are you? Composite.
Or English,
composite?
For that matter.
Composite? Composite?
You said composite, and we say composite.
Us dumb Yanks say composite, but yeah.
Yes. All right.
But the British say composite.
Composite. So
it's fiberglass, folks.
With a little bit of sandwich stuff in between. We're working with a company called Total Composites, and we gave them the design. And what they do is this is actually a new market for them. And the whole idea is, I mean, I was looking at some campers that, I mean, you buy an XP camper, you're looking at $80,000 easy. With these guys, for a tenth of that, you can get everything you need, build it yourself from your own design. So we're working with them, and we're doing exactly that. And it's a bit of a flagship project for them and for us, I suppose. So they'll be shipping this stuff in. Should be arriving early December.
Where is this company based, Graham?
They've got offices, I believe, on the East Coast here, and then they're in Vancouver. But they've got a German head office as such.
Okay.
They're a subsidiary of a German company that's been doing this for years. So we're going to do all the work ourselves. We're going to strip the vehicle down to the frame. Then we're going to weld a subframe. I have to learn how to weld. And I'm going to teach Keelan while I'm learning. So we're going to work together. Keelan and I are mostly going to work on it.
Got a couple hours before I hit the road. I can teach you.
Sweet. Okay. Sounds good.
Welding's like golfing. It takes 10 minutes to learn and a lifetime to master. But a couple hours, I can get you functional.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I've got the basics. I've been watching YouTube videos and stuff. I'm interested in doing aluminium.
Yeah, do it. It's
Yeah. I've been around it my whole life. I've just never actually done it. I'm interested in doing maybe an aluminium subframe.
Okay, I'll get you competent in steel, and then you can go from there.
Cool.
You can learn the aluminium next.
Cool. Aluminium, isn't it?
Not in this country.
So from here we're driving down to Florida, and then we're going to be staying with some lovely people, Rolf and Ronald and Cherie, and they've got a 90, a 110, any other Rovers? I don't know, but beauty of it is it's right down by the Florida Keys, right down there, far south. So we're going to be sitting in shorts in Christmas, which is the south hemisphere way, which suits us. And while we're busy doing the rebuild, when we take a day off, the odd Sunday, we could take the 90 and go for a drive down the Keys or whatever. So I'm looking forward to that. And that's it. We're basically going to be preparing the Landy for Europe and the drive to Asia.
So Florida is nothing specific to the company you're using. It's just a good location and considerably warmer during the North American winter.
And you can't get any closer to the homeland without leaving the U.S.,
You mean South America being the homeland?
Well, South anything for you folks, Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, originally we were going to do the some of the work here or in Canada, and that just didn't work out, especially the Canadian part of the deal. We were a little bit disappointed by that, but everything happens for a reason, right?
Things work out as they should.
Yeah.
You would have not been happy with a winter in Montreal, I don't think.
Quebec.
Yeah.
If we had a good workshop to work in and it was heated and stuff and all that, I'm sure we would have been okay. But
once you survived that, you would no longer complain about winter anywhere.
Yeah. Well, that was my whole thinking, is go up there and have a proper northern hemisphere winter.
Mm.
Like, be snowed in and realize that you're not going to die. Learn how to enjoy the snow and not just be scared of it. We're not scared of snow, by the way. We were up in the mountains. Okay, now Harold is not going to – this doesn't qualify because it wasn't more than 3 feet deep. But we're up in the mountains.
That's enough.
We're up in the mountains in Baja And it snowed every 2 weeks over December. We were house sitting this ranch. And we get about half a foot on the ground, which isn't a lot, but it's enough to be pretty.
It's enough to learn what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's really cool. Tracking animals and stuff in the snow is so easy. Yeah.
So tell us about Baja. You spent, several months there in Baja, and that was why you were writing the book? Is that, that's at least it was my recollection.
Yeah, we found a house-sitting gig in the mountains, and we initially were only going to be there for about 3 to 4 months, and we landed up in total being there for 9 months. It was that
it was
beautiful.
9 months.
9 months. Yeah, it was insane amount of time, actually. We didn't realize how long the book was going to take us because, you know, it starts off small and then it continues to grow and then you just keep adding more content and then, you know. So it was fantastic.
It's
really
like building
it.
A Land Rover. There's just always more stuff to do until it's done.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, it was great and we got a lot done and it was that period of time. It was for us to reinvent ourselves as professional overlanders, I think. And we really got our heads geared into the right direction. And we said, that's it. This is what we're going to be doing for as long as we can, possibly can. And the Kickstarter definitely helped us, you know.
And a big thank you to people.
Yeah, so thank you to everybody for contributing to the Kickstarter.
Yeah, sweet.
How big was your Kickstarter? Like, how many... Can you say how many people you had and you made a chunk of change, I assume?
We had, out of pledges, we had 560-odd people that pledged. And then the percentage was like 380-odd% funded, so almost 400% funded.
That's great.
We thought we were going to make a chunk of change. Unfortunately, we didn't.
You're not made of money?
No, yeah, only you, John.
No. Not even close.
Yeah, no, the whole Brexit.
Explain to the people why.
Okay. We did our Kickstarter in the UK because we're not US citizens, so we didn't have social security numbers. So we had to do it in the UK because Graham's a British citizen, dual citizen. And due to people voting UK out of Europe, basically, the pound dropped incredibly. And from
good,
one.
Good for us.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. For a holiday to the UK.
One to one now, yeah. Almost. Yeah.
Well, thank you for making me more depressed.
I
think it's
it.
1.25 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 1.65.
173. It's been hovering around 160, 165 for years now.
Exactly.
And you could predict it and you could rely on it. You know, for those of us who buy parts in the UK, it's kind of nice being able to plan. Mind you, it's going my way now, but you're on the other side of it, so it's hurting you guys pretty bad.
Yeah, we were always on the receiving end of the shit, though, because unfortunately, the South African rand dropped by more than half of its currency, and now we land up with this, and, you know, so, yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity. We've got a great book out of it, and it really is awesome, and the amount of support we've received is, you know, phenomenal. But, yes.
If I could just add, I mean, a real... for Louisa, she worked so hard on this project, on this book. Firstly, it was the Kickstarter, having to put together the 1.22.
I looked it up.
I said 1.25. That's pretty close.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Oh, God, that hurts. Anyway, so we're up in these mountains. We've got this drip feed freaking internet.
I believe they call that hand cranked.
Hand cranked. That's a better way of saying it. Yeah, hand cranked internet. And Louisa had to put together a video for the whole Kickstarter campaign first, the videos and all of that. And then when it was successful, then she had to put together the books and design the stickers and do all of that. And obviously, we worked together on it. But the poor woman had to literally would have maybe 2 hours sleep a night. Sitting there trying to get things done, fighting with a broken computer and a terrible internet connection. It's kudos to Louisa. She really, really worked hard on that. She really, I mean, she put everything into it. And I think that kind of hurts with this Brexit thing. It's like, come on, can we get a break? You know? But we'll turn that around to advantage. We always do. We'll find a way. But, yeah. Anyway, well done.
Well, it shows. The book is amazing. Looks really nice, and it's great content. Looks good. You'll want to have it on your coffee table. That's the first thing I told you guys when you handed me the copy was, boom, it's going to look good on the coffee table.
Well, that was the goal, to make a coffee table book.
Yeah, pretty much.
A book that's too nice to keep on the shelf, so you're going to have it out, so people are going to see it.
Yeah.
So where can people get the book if they, you know, those of us who are my
listeners? Can they still get the book if they were dumb enough not to participate in the Kickstarter?
Well, yeah. Fortunately, because we got the numbers, we ordered quite a few more additional copies. So, yes, people can get it on the website, which is www.a2aexpedition.com. And there's actually a section called Buy Our Books, and you'll find our We Will Be Free ones there, as well as the Travel the Planet Overland. And yeah.
Right in the middle of the banner across the top of the page, Buy Our Books.
So this is limited edition, obviously, this Kickstarter. It's the highest quality we could afford. And we really put... We could have gone cheap with it. We could have gone with, but we put everything into it to make it the kind of book that people want. So we do have the extra copies. We're not too sure about once we've sold those, how we're going to do it again. We could do pre-orders. But there's a lot of media attention. There's going to be a lot of media attention about the book. So we'll see if it's popular enough, then we could do the pre-orders, and then we get up to a certain amount, and then we run to do a print run.
So if you want a book, you should get it now.
Pretty much.
And it's $45 American, and it's worth it. I've seen other books,
and it goes to a good cause.
And it goes to a great cause.
Thank you.
It's worth the money. Your book, your other book, the first one, We Will Be Free, is also available there. And you can get it through Amazon. Also, your original
and book. As an ebook too, if you really don't want to accumulate paper.
Correct, but the Bells get more money out of buying it right from their website than they do if you go through Amazon. Correct.
Correct. Yeah, and the Travel the Planet one is a hardcover book, whereas the We Will Be Free is a softcover book. So essentially, with this print run, you're getting the top quality. With the next one, if we do it via Amazon or whatever the case might be, we'll only be able to do it in softcover, unfortunately.
So maybe we should put a description on the website, Louisa, where you can say, okay, the softcover is, these are the dimensions, this is how many pages, contains six photos, whatever. And the other one we could say it's 8x9 inches and et cetera. What do you
use as a doorstop to smack somebody in the head with?
She's going to smack me in the head pretty soon.
Yeah, I'll get on top of that right away.
If you're going to give me a hard time, please speak into the speaker.
The speaker.
What is this? A microphone. Sorry, I didn't mean to shout microphone.
And we're not in Philadelphia either.
You're not in Philadelphia, Tennessee, no?
So this book was printed in Tennessee. Does that mean they use a whiskey-based ink?
Yeah, probably.
Sure. That or marijuana.
If you lick the cover.
Yeah, that's right. Scratch and sniff.
There you go.
So all of this is building up from what I see that you're doing, and you've even mentioned it, but you're becoming professional off-roaders. That's your life, your job. Is that's what I've heard from you guys this week, and it sounds like you've made that decision with this second book that you're going to be doing additional books and you want to travel further. And I mean, for just talking to you guys this week, I mean, you guys don't even think that you're going to settle back in South Africa or anywhere else anytime soon. Is that accurate? And how did that come about? You know, you just, hey, that's what we want to do. We've decided we're enjoying this enough.
Yeah, I think after the first 4 years, once we left home, eventually, you know, this became our life. And I, you know, now and then we settle down back into normal life, or as normal as it can be, like when we're on the farm in Mexico, or even just stay with you guys for a week or so. And we're indoors and we enjoy the plumbing and we enjoy the conveniences, but then we get
the
itchy.
Couch.
Gets
the
addictive, doesn't it?
Not quite. No, we're itchy already. It's strange. But this is the whole idea with the rebuild of turning the Landy into a camper. I know it's going to break my heart. There's nothing I love more than driving and looking in that mirror and just seeing that Land Rover behind me. The rear, she's got a great ass. It's going to break my heart.
You just got to get used to a different ass, that's all.
Yeah, that's a nice big one. I like big butts and I cannot lie. But that's the whole idea is that, you know, we've been a tent for so long, and I think you've seen my son. He's a bit of a giant, and he's still got 2 years of growing to do. So, So the idea is that we okay, from here we're going to ship across to the UK, and then we're going to drive to Asia. So this is, and that's the definite goal for the 2017, 2018. And then from there, we have to look at our options. We might stop, let's say, in Vietnam or India or something, probably Vietnam, rent a place on the beach and write our third book. Actually, no, I've got to write the third book now. I've already started the third book. So we have to do a couple more books and launch that from Vietnam. Maybe we do another Kickstarter, get the funds going. And then from there, we'll go to Australia. I've got this hard-on for Australia. I don't know why. I just have to go there. And I want to circumnavigate Australia. And
but you were indicating to me earlier that you won't be able to take your truck in. It's almost impossible, right?
Well, you know, we're pretty competent, I think. I like to think. We managed to do a lot of things that other people find very difficult, like Central America. A lot of people really struggled with Central America, with all the borders, etc. And it was a breeze for us. It was expensive, but it was a breeze because this is what we do. You know, we've been doing it for a long time.
Well, that was your profession in an earlier life.
Yeah, we were immigration practitioners, so it wasn't too difficult for us.
That gives you a little advantage in dealing with this stuff that the average overlander might not have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We do have that advantage. And we have the advantage where we clean, and Louisa cleans the landy all the time. And that's the problem getting into Australia is that John, yeah, okay.
We'll come back to that.
The problem getting into Australia is that the vehicle has to be clean, like spotlessly clean. There can't be any seeds. They check in the chassis. They do all of that.
They check vehicles that are being imported here for the same thing.
Yeah.
You have to make sure you remove all of Her Majesty's mud when you're importing a Defender.
Okay.
Actually, the Department of Agriculture will come out and look at it.
Yeah.
That's what Australia does.
Yeah, and if you fail, then you have to get it cleaned by them, and it costs you $700 and then X, Y, and Z. So I'm confident that we could get her clean enough to get her into Australia without any big problems. If not, I have met a lovely overlander who does build campers in Australia. His name's Justin Lewis. And he said, hey, he's got vehicles. If I want to borrow one to go around Australia, they'll be fine. Problem is it's a Nissan Patrol.
So I'm sorry, I don't hear those words.
I know.
Well, you know, the old Nissan Patrols are kind of cool. It's just the new one they call the Patrol. It's a poser.
It's a Nissan Poser, I think.
Okay, there we go.
But I'm not going to, Justin, I'm not talking shit about
Give horses and mounts and all that. Free truck, you know?
Yeah. But we'll see. And then from Australia,
too bad you're not going there first. You could leave here with a clean truck and have no problem because it's new.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So Australia will be interesting. I don't know. It's all about visas and, you know, we've got to prove we've got enough funds and blah, blah, blah. But then, okay, from Asia, I'd love to either, if we use our own vehicle, ship the vehicle to like Vladivostok, then drive through Russia back into Europe and then down and around Africa. That would, and then on the way we could stop back home in South Africa for, let's say, a year and just gather our thoughts and go from there. But chances are within 6 months we'll be back on the road.
No doubt.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're recreating the first overland run in a way when you get to Europe. Is that the general thought?
Yeah, absolutely.
But even if you fell asleep during the viewing of the DVD?
You know what killed me?
That took you a long time to set that one up, John. I saw you going there, but you got to work on getting quicker.
Two things. Firstly, John fed me too many beers last night. Second, I don't know if it's from when I was a kid. I hear Richard Attenborough. I hear that voice, and I fall asleep. And that's what happened.
Yep.
But
yeah, they need to bottle that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like whale sounds and Richard Attenborough.
There you go.
Yeah.
One of those little white noise machines.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we definitely the Silk Route, the Stans, Iran, Turkey, all of that. We definitely want to go through there. We have the advantage of having the South African passports. I can hide my British one away as soon as we cross into Turkey, and we just travel through on our South African passports at least. And we really want to. There's a couple of overlanders. They call themselves Paws on Tour. And they're Swiss-German, I think. And, you know, they did amazing things when they were traveling in South America. They would go off the road to places people just don't go and find the most amazing things. And we were always preoccupied with getting to the next destination and trying to figure this out and fix this and get our problems sorted out. That we hardly ever took the time to really do things like that, to really just get out there, and do circular routes that are just for the pleasure of the journey.
That's an opportunity for the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're learning as we go, and that's how I'd like to do it.
You also gave the kind of, come back to the U.S. because I know you quickly scampered across the U.S. and missed a lot. And
there's a couple of things to see in the middle that you may have driven past.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You didn't get to Carhenge in Alliance, Nebraska. I mean, everybody.
Or the Cadillac Ranch, for that matter.
We did, actually. We went to Carhenge.
Did you go to Carhenge?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I want to see a picture of that.
Instagram. Okay.
Photographic proof.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, we stopped.
That's amazing. Okay, because I was at Carhenge way back in like 96 or something, and it's like, okay, I'm Carhenge, now what?
I don't know.
If you knew what the cars were, you'd probably have a little bit longer to appreciate it.
Mostly Cadillacs, weren't they? They were all Cadillacs.
Oh, there's a lot of non-Cadillac content in Carhenge.
Okay. Yeah,
a whole lot.
Yep. All right, so, yeah, you think about coming back to the U.S. at some point. Mm. Yeah. And I would, and this, I guess, is the opportunity when I get to say that I would recommend you folks as house guests, especially if you want to eat and and you want a clean house. man, I work from home typically, and on at least two occasions this week, I had a plate of hot breakfast given to me in the middle of a meeting, and I'm like, whoa, that's fantastic. And then dinners are just amazing, and they throw on food. It's good stuff. Good stuff. I actually had fried banana first time ever, which was I like fried banana. That was actually very good. It was very good.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's our thing. Is if people invite us and we click with them and we decide that we're going to trust. We're it's about trust, really. So, and we hate the idea of being freeloaders. So if we stay, we're going to feed you and fatten you up. Yeah.
I was already
John
fat.
Needed a lot of help in that regard.
I was already fat. And now I got even more. Yay. But the food has actually been amazing. We did Bri learned how to say the word. We had a couple of those. I had to go out and get more meat for last night's and chicken wings and ribs.
Slaughter another cow.
And sausage. Actually, I don't think we had any beef yesterday, did we?
That was lamb ribs.
It was lamb. That's right. Lamb ribs, yeah. And which are really, really good. So, yeah. So if you need a house guest, I would unquestionably recommend the Bells.
Sounds like another Kickstarter opportunity.
It's called Airbnb, or the opposite of Airbnb, isn't it? I think it's kind of the opposite.
People can sign up on the website and reserve slots of your time, and you can just travel the globe and hop from one place to
visit
the next.
People. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Look. Make food in their house.
Tell them stories. Yeah. Clean their house. No. I, yeah.
Well, could put like the kids to work at least.
Okay. Yeah. At least the kids.
Maids on wheels or something.
Yeah. Very good, actually. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the kids, I have a couple questions around Jessica and Keelan. And I asked our Patreon patrons as a special opportunity for them to ask questions that they might have of you guys. So I have a couple questions from them, and they center around what are Jessica and Keelan's plans in the future? Do they have they know what they want to do? Because Jessica's 12, Keelan's 17.
17.
Yeah, because the day may arrive when they have a choice in this matter. So what's the plan?
Well, I think I'll answer for Jessica. I think Graham can do Keelan. I think Jessica is amazing with animals and kids. So she'll definitely want to do a career into something like that. We've spoken about getting a piece of land when we do settle down and getting, rescuing animals and her, taking care of that. And if she has to do like a master's in business and administration, she can approach corporates to get funding for that kind of thing. So I think we're trying to shift her in a direction of employment as such that she'll actually enjoy instead of just sitting behind a desk doing mundane shit. So, Yeah, I think that Jessica, she's kind of, and she's really taking to photography. So I think that might tie in into it as well. She is kind of like a homebody. So I reckon she'll stop traveling when we stop traveling, kind of thing. So I don't think she'll pursue it.
Well, the way you do it, she can be a homebody and travel at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Jessica has got a gift with animals and with children. And there's a refuge for animals in Costa Rica. And we'd love to mimic that kind of situation, maybe in South America, specifically in South America. There are millions of stray animals, and they're so sweet. You know, in Africa, there's a lot of strays, but they tend to be quite aggressive because that's how they're dealt with. In South America, the animals tend to be very sweet, just like Jessica. So if we could help her achieve that, set something up where we have a piece of land, a nice little home, and she can basically take in animals, and get local vets to, volunteer to spay them, to neuter them, to take care of their health, and then maybe find adoption, do an adoption, something like that. But purely for Jessica, just working with animals would be fantastic for her. That would be her calling for sure. Keelan, he is right now so into gaming, it's not even funny.
No, I hadn't noticed.
You haven't noticed? Yeah.
I didn't notice at all. No, yeah. not while I was sitting in my chair and he's in the couch in front of me. No, I haven't seen that screen at all for hours on end.
So we encourage him a bit, but more in terms of making his own games. You know, we bought him a computer before I bought myself a new computer, and I need one for books, etc. But I bought him one before I got myself a new one so that he can work doing 3D modeling, designing games, learning coding, doing that kind of stuff. And he's part of a network of gamers, a community of gamers. And, you know, so he's got it's more than just gaming for him. It's a community. And because we travel so much, it's difficult for him to have a community. But he's an incredibly intelligent kid, and he can design. He can do so much for us while we're traveling. And it seems like he'd like to stay with us. I don't see him leaving the mother's bosom anytime soon. Not while there's still cuddles and meals being handed out.
Yeah, you keep feeding him. Why should he leave?
Exactly. Well, he knows that when he turns 18, things are going to change. I don't know if it's the American way, but it is the South African way. You're 18, you're either contribute or you're out. That sounds a bit harsh, but you know, we've given him the tools. We have connections all over the world. If he decides he wants to be an apprentice, doing whatever, wherever, we can sort him out with that. But for the foreseeable future, I see him being part of the team and helping us out. If it's generating content, making videos, taking care of our IT needs, designing for us, doing a bunch of stuff. I'd love to keep him on as long as I can, but he has to be productive and part of the team. But the skills that he's going to learn doing what we're doing, like doing this build, for instance, as I'm learning, I'm going to be teaching him, and he'll have a skill by the end of it that he could go off and he could do himself. I mean, there's a game he plays called what the hell is it called?
The Homebrew.
Yeah, and it's all about design. You know, designing cars, designing this, designing that, airplanes, and all that. And definitely that's a skill that he could use doing something like this. I mean, overlanding is taking off. So many people are into it, van life and all that. And the need for live-in campers is growing. And if he decides that he wants to do something like that, we give him the skills to do it. He'll know people in the community. Already he's got all the connections he needs. So definitely we're opening doors for him. But at the end of the day, they have to do the work for themselves. So, yeah. And the options still exist for him if he wants to study, to go study in either Norway or Estonia because it's free for foreigners.
Really?
Really.
You just told.
Just gave away the secret.
Yeah. Well, no, it's fine. They actually want it. The Norwegians, the Estonians, the reason they're doing this is because of immigration.
They want people.
Yeah.
And the great thing is they have classes in English. So if you have got a kid that you're looking to send off to university in the U.S., maybe consider that. And the fact of the matter is that they can actually legally work whilst they're studying. So you even save on paying for the accommodation if they just, you know, work themselves.
Yeah. Wow.
So their immigration policies are real friendly then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Specifically, now, is that for all foreigners or just certain countries?
I think it's all legal foreigners. You know, if you're coming in with a proper passport, you don't have any black marks, you're not blacklisted or whatever.
All right.
But I think it's all foreigners. The idea is, I mean, the birth rates in Scandinavia have been dropping for the last couple of decades.
So they just need to repopulate their country is what they're saying.
Absolutely. So, you know, go live and study in Estonia, Norway, fall in love with someone, make a baby, and then say, hey, you know what, I like it here. I'm going to settle down and use my new degree. I suppose that's the idea. But even if people don't settle down, they always have that connection with that country, and they'll keep coming back, I think.
Interesting. And Keelan is just a massive individual, just size-wise. I mean, he's not fat by any stretch. I mean, he's just a tall guy, man. I just have to get that, put that out there. Because
he is not a small boy.
No, when you read about him, and especially in the book, which is, what, about 3-ish years, I think, roughly, two, three years old now at this point. And I read it, and I'm like, okay, Keelan, you figure the kid's, you know, what, 14 or so, okay, you get a size of it. And then all of a sudden now it's, hey, there's a 17-year-old man in front of you, and it's, you know, I'm looking up to him. He's a tall kid, and as you said, I think he's still growing. I think that's why he naps all the time, because he's growing.
He's not napping. He's regenerating.
He's expanding.
True.
Yeah, we're from Afrikaner stock, and that is a combination of Dutch blood, and the Dutch are the tallest people on the planet, and then the Afrikaners or the South Africans' obsession with meat. And I think the combination makes large individuals.
I can attest.
Large meat-eating individuals.
Yes. And I can attest they have an obsession with meat. Absolutely. So another question that relates from one of our Patreon patrons kind of relates is, so what's the interest that the kids have in Land Rovers? Have they developed an affinity for them? Or might they get their own? Have you considered maybe getting a second truck that...
Absolutely. The children love Land Rovers.
They kind of have to, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we have indoctrinated them.
To stay on the team, they have to.
Yeah. I wouldn't say no to a union.
To be allowed to ride indoors.
Well, you know, Defenders have become so popular and pricey that I don't think it'll be in our budget for the foreseeable future. But I would love, sticking on Land Rovers. A Discovery to me is a nice. What is it? The Discovery 2? Not the Discovery 1.
Two.
It's, yeah. Discovery 2 to me is a nice vehicle. You know, it's extremely capable off road. It's a lot more comfortable than the Defender. It has aircon that works.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. It's got electric windows.
Mm-hmm. That work most of the time.
And
heated seats,
no? Oh, we don't need all that fancy
you
stuff.
You can't get heated seats. Yes.
But if we had a Discovery with a TD5 engine, that would be great. Problem is, it doubles your fuel bill. You know, what do we do about sleeping arrangements? Do we then have a tent on top? But eventually, we are going to have to kind of find a solution where we kind of separate out. And that kind of ties in with Keelan, you know, how long he's going to stay with us. But they're crazy about Land Rovers. I mean, Land Rovers are it's their home. You know, that it's a brand that they know the best. I mean, hey?
Since
Keenan was born, we've always had Land Rovers. I mean, and it's the Land Rover community as well.
He enjoyed riding in the Series 3. So we went into Pittsburgh. He got he rode in the 109. So he seemed to enjoy that.
Yeah.
And he actually had room. He's, he's like, hey, I got room.
To remove the door top so you can hang out the side.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the door tops.
Yeah. Always pull the canvas back if he's too tall.
Yeah. But, yeah, they love Land Rovers.
We Will Be Free ended with you still in Central America, or was it Mexico?
Ecuador.
Ecuador? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is there a continuation book in the works?
Yes, there is. I'm about 9,000 words into it.
That's a good start.
Yeah, it is. I haven't really found time to get into a routine of writing. since we did Travel the Planet Overland.
We've been a little distracted.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to soon get back into it. But yeah, I have the name for it. I think I have the cover photo. I've been pondering it every single day. That's what I think about when I'm not thinking about beer or boobs or Land Rovers.
So you don't think about it much then?
Yes, Harold. Thank you. But yeah,
you do have an incredible memory. I have to throw out because you have all these stories that like, and it was like rich detail in your original book and. I haven't seen you write anything down in the last couple of weeks, at least not that I've seen, jotting any notes down. And I know you'll pull up something that I said that I won't remember. And then you'll go, hey, John said this. And I'm like, okay. I know that'll happen. You have this. I applaud you on your.
Some of us live life for the details, John.
And some of us just live life.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, the beauty of writing these books is I get to relive the entire journey. It's difficult if you had to say to me, oh, tell me about like when you're in Yosemite. And I go like, oh, shit, I don't even remember. But if I look at a map and I go in a linear and I say, okay, so we crossed in Brownsville, Texas, and then we drove up to New Mexico. And then all those memories come back. Like I remember driving in past Deming out towards Phoenix. And I was like blown away. I was like, oh, we're in America. And I was listening to the radio, and they're playing the best music. And here this train was running along next to us, and all these big trucks and Mustangs. And I was just – so that kind of detail really sinks
stuff
in.
Stuff we take for granted.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was America, like full on. So
you're welcome.
Thank you. And the longer we've spent in the States, the better I understand it. You know, there's a lot of crap about the U.S. on the media and that, like international media. There's movies and blah, blah, blah. And that they're kind of like I always try and make up my own mind. This is part of this whole traveling gig is see the country for yourself and learn for yourself. And it's been great. It's taken a while to fully get under the skin, I think. And I don't think I'm fully under the skin of the U.S., but we're getting there.
It'll take you a while.
Yeah, of course.
Do you have one thing you'd like to share?
Absolutely. This fast food for me, it all comes down to the size of the country and the size of the roads. And, you know, you look at American cars, especially the older from the 50s and that, huge engines, big comfortable seats. And that's about the distance. For you Americans, I say, okay, sorry, man, I need to find this. How far is it? Oh, no, it's just down the road. It's not far. It's like a 20-mile drive. For us, it's like, dude, that's far, you know? And also, you can't get around in America without having a car. You have to have it. And most Americans will have two or three cars. It's a car culture.
I call that a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. But so it's the roads dictate the vehicles. And then the vehicles are like, you know, you guys are driving 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours to get around if you're going somewhere far or relatively far. And then you don't want to, you know, sit in a restaurant for 3 hours. You want to pull up and grab a burger and a cool drink, and you want to sit back and relax and automatic and keep driving, you know. And that affects the culture. That is the culture, you know. And people don't really understand it. It's like the Harley Davidson. Yeah, people living in Holland or in Europe who want to drive around on a Harley. But Harleys weren't made for the European roads.
Those people just want to drive a Harley so they can pretend they're American.
Pretty much, I suppose. I don't know. But that's the thing, is a Harley is made for American roads.
Big American cars are big in Sweden for the same reason.
Why is that?
They love the American culture. They love
absolutely.
Cars.
Yeah. But they don't necessarily have the roads for it.
No. I mean, Sweden's a tiny country. I mean, you get more than half a dozen big Cadillacs in a row, and you're stretching the length of the country.
That's true.
Or the width of it, at least.
Yeah.
This is when I get to remind people that the U.K., you know, Northern Ireland included, Scotland, England, Wales, is the same, roughly the same square miles as Pennsylvania and New York put together. So, you know, you think of all the stuff that happens and you hear about in the U.K. and you're like, okay, now smash all that into Pennsylvania and New York. And and then you've got 48 other states, 46 other states that are connected to it. You know, that's gives you some perspective, which when I went to Europe the first time, and mentioned really before the internet, I had a guy say to me, he goes, we're going to fly into Disney World. And then we're going to rent a car. We want to drive around a couple different places. And I says, where do you want to go? Oh, we want to hit D.C., Boston, New York. And I said, how long do you have? He goes, oh, a week.
Don't plan on ever stopping the vehicle.
Yeah.
In fact, don't use the brakes.
Yeah. It's just, I says, you'll drive by them all, maybe, but you're not going to stop or see anything. Yeah. So that distance, that's true. I think the reverse is true also of Americans. When they travel outside the country to many places, that distance, they don't realize that sometimes, especially like the U.K., things are so close together.
The density is kind of a surprise, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the scale of the U.S. is mind-boggling. I mean, Brazil was huge, the same size as the U.S. But, you know, you could drive forever and not see anything out there. And here as well. But here, when you get into a town, you're going to find, I think I was telling Harold earlier, people give Walmart a hard time. I like Walmart. You know, they're standard, they're modern. You know
what to expect, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. And pretty much every town's got one. And that's our standard for the U.S. is that if you drive into a town that doesn't even have a Walmart, just keep on driving. Yeah. If it's not big enough for a Walmart, you don't want to be there.
The one thing I'll say about Walmart is, where else are you going to find color-matched, computer-generated house paint at 2 in the morning?
Yeah, yeah.
And
you can sleep in the parking lot. We're pretty good at that, obviously. Where was I going with this?
You were just the scale of the U.S., and you were giving us an example of a misconception that you had noticed while you were here. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, Americans are generally very fit. Well educated, well spoken,
except for the one here in this house.
Yeah.
Thanks to foreigners have made me unfit.
Yeah, the migrant
labor. Because you were a model of fitness before they showed up, John.
I was on the presidential fitness list.
Maybe President Taft's fitness list.
Yeah, that's a good reference. Well, good, well played on that one.
I'm assuming was he was a
rotund man.
He was not a small man.
William Howard Taft. He was as big as his name sounds.
Yeah.
He was as big as the state he was from.
Texas?
Ohio.
Yes. Five presidents have come from Ohio. The most, I think, of any state in the union. One from Pennsylvania, and we'll never have one again because he annoyed everybody.
Lincoln?
No, he was before Lincoln. He was Buchanan. Buchanan's before Lincoln, and basically, you know. The union kind of
the only non-married president in office.
That's true. The only president not married
was Lincoln from West Virginia.
Lincoln, Illinois.
Yeah, he was born in Kentucky, I believe.
He was a
representative of the state of Illinois at the time he entered politics.
And their slogan, "Illinois is land of Lincoln," whereas Pennsylvania is the Keystone State.
Awesome.
And Vermont is the Green Mountain State.
Fun with flags.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't. I'll cut this right out. So to wrap this up, this special session talking to Graham and Louisa Bell, I did turn them on to one thing that I think they will take with them throughout the rest of their journeys, at least I hope they do, and that is music. So Graham and I have kind of a...
Right, because they'd never heard music before they got here.
No, they have. They have, but they have it turns out they have a similar interest, and I turned on my favorite radio station, which is a non-commercial station called WYAP 91.3 FM, and Graham just got sucked into it and would keep asking for it all the time, and I had to make sure it was playing constantly in the house. So,
yeah.
And he even got a shout out on the radio, from Joey in the morning show, and played. Well, I forget the name, Lee's song.
Miriam Makeba, which made us very homesick. So she sings a song, but I don't do her any justice, but I just want to do the clicks. Yeah, that was very sweet. Then I sent him some South African rock, which I think kind of blew his head off. He wasn't expecting that.
Good.
But yeah, WYEP is rock solid, man. I love it.
Well done. WYEP.org.
Can you cut out the singing later?
Sure, I'll cut out the singing.
Listeners.
You're not going to cut it out.
If you actually sang, I would cut it out.
I did sing.
No, as I said, if you actually sang, I would
cut it
out.
That was singing?
Yeah, I know. That was my singing.
I thought your dentures were loose.
Yes, folks, it's been like this for an entire week.
Where's the music?
Where's the music? It's time for Cool Kids, sharing music for the whole family.
Cool Kids on WYAP is supported by KidsBurg.org, an online resource featuring info on family-friendly events, children's learning, and play in Pittsburgh. Now, I learned just the other day that we have some big fans from South Africa who are visiting Pittsburgh right now and have been enjoying this station. So I thought, why not play a song for them? Because the music of South Africa is incredible. Now, when you think of South African music, probably two names who come to mind first, one of which probably Paul Simon because his Graceland album, and the other, Miriam Makeba. She is nicknamed Mama Africa, and she was a very famous singer and civil rights activist. She also wrote some great songs and sang them. So this one goes out to Graham and Louisa Bell. Here's Miriam Makeba with Pata Pata. You know a song you think kids would like, let us know on our website, WYEP.org/coolkids.
Hopefully we'll come back someday and we'll do this again. And certainly do it on the road while you're in Turkey, Bosnia. Or Bosnia or Macedonia. Go to Macedonia. That's where my father's side of the family is from. So my mother's side, excuse me, is from.
All right.
So you should go to Macedonia and Bulgaria and...
The idea while we're traveling is we're going to start doing vlogs. And we've already started. We just to test the waters and see how the technology works and just, you know, figure it out. And we were doing we did a vlog around Sedona and then traveling here across the States, we did a vlog. So what we're going to be doing is doing a vlog. And obviously it's easier here because the internet and this in Europe and the stands and all that, it won't be that easy. But we'll have to find a way, and once a week we'll sit down and upload vlogs and that. And if you guys would like, we could, you know, once a month or whenever, we could be your roving reporters.
Ooh,
coming
yes.
to you live from Macedonia.
We would call that foreign correspondent.
A foreign correspondent.
Hmm. Or a global correspondent?
Something like that. We'll come up with something. The Center Steer podcast, off-road, overland reporters or something. Or just, yeah, all around good guys.
So, yeah, that'd be cool.
I think you should have the word dude, though, because you guys say dude a lot.
Dude.
Yeah, you guys. You do. Yeah, you do. Both of you.
I figured you'd spend a little too much time in California.
I think it's South. I suspect it's a South African
thing. In California, it's another language.
Chichet.
See, in California, you show up at, like, to take your driver's license test. You can get it in English, Spanish, or dude.
Dude.
If you want the dude test, dude, I want the dude because that's all I know. The questions are not true and false. They're totally and not even.
Not even, man. My personal hero is the dude.
The dude.
From what was that movie?
Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. The dude. Look, I want to be him one day. Yeah. Travel in a Both rug.
Just not that.
Both rug. A Both robe, baby, not a Both rug. That's a bit far.
Well, when your hair falls out, you might need a bath rug.
A bath rug, yeah.
Cool. But you guys really are fantastic house guests. I really appreciate it having you guys. I hope you had a good time and got.
Yeah,
you
where do we sign
done.
Up for that service? I need my house cleaned too.
Yeah, well, no, you can't.
We do not clean houses.
Our kids do.
Our kids do not clean houses. No,
that works too.
$20 an hour.
Child labor.
I know. You know, in the process of cooking and stuff and wandering around your house, it might get cleaner, but we are not a cleaning service, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Graham and Louisa Bell from A2AExpedition.com. They are traveling the planet overland, and it has been most wonderful to have you in the studio to talk with us.
Visit their website, buy their books, but don't ask them to clean your house.
Thank you very much for having us, John.
Thanks very much.
And thanks for inviting us into your home. That's really great. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
And not kicking us out just yet.
You won't leave. When are you leaving? Oh, we're going to leave in 3 days. 2 days later. Well, it's going to be another 3 days.
The door's open at my place anytime.
They're most welcome. They're most welcome. They're speaking Afrikaans on me.
Uh-huh.
That's when I know something is up.
That way they can say things about us without us catching on.
Exactly.
Ek joke man.
Yeah, natuurlijk nie, want dis wat kom jy sê.